It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land.
Good evening, everyone. Today is Wednesday, October 8th, 2014, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the Republic Information Call for all Free State Governors and Free State Executive and Judicial Branch Officials. We'd like to start our call out with prayer, and I'm going to turn the call actually for a little while over to Governor Henning. Welcome to the call, sir.
Thank you, Brenda. Welcome everybody else to this call this evening, if we all bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've blessed this great nation with and waking the people up as time goes by, and we're watching the heavens as you show us the blood moons. This morning was an awesome sight to observe, dear Jesus. And please bring the health and the well-being of this new family member in the Owens family, dear Jesus. Touch their family and keep them safe and cover us all in your protection, dear God. And please move this thing forward, the Republic, as soon as possible. We're all standing, occupying these seats as we've been asked. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, yeah, Governor Henning, we'll let Justice Moak, I guess, give his updates, and then I'll just let you governors have it. And I'm going to also unmute Lieutenant Governor James Carpenter, and I'm going to let you guys have it for a little bit.
Thanks, Brenda. Chief Justice Moak, you have the floor.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Can you all hear me now?
Hear you fine.
Okay. We have just found what looks to be like the original rule book for the Supreme Court. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to go back over all of as old of rules as we could find. And we just, like I said the other day on one of the calls, we have went over the 1858 process for grand jury selection. We went through that. We just found that. And now we have found the old rules of the court, old rule book that the Supreme Court would go by. And we're going to be going through that now. So this is really kind of a jackpot moment. We can duplicate as much as possible what the original de jure was like and the process that the original de jure went through. I haven't got a chance to go through it. It's like 800 pages, so it's going to be quite lengthy, but that'll be good. We are also in the process. We've talked with the president, vice president, the speaker, Brett LaRue. We've talked to all of them, and we believe that there will be no problem changing the use of the instrumentality to involve modern equipment. Where it said that all the names would have to be rolled up and put on a piece of paper and placed in a wooden box, of course, this was, like I said, in the 1850s. Many of our counties have, millions of people in it, so that would be physically impossible to write all of the names on a piece of paper. We've been doing some research. We believe that it would still yet well be within the spirit of the law and the spirit of the Constitution to employ more modern means, and so that's what we've been doing. But we're getting down to the original rules, and we're trying to not change the rules or not break the spirit that the law or rule was made in, but simply incorporating modern instrumentality to be able to accompany large numbers whenever we believe the Republic will finally become the sole governance in America. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moak. That would be a blessed day when that does happen. It's coming soon, I know. Governor Horton?
Yes, sir.
You have the floor, sir?
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, Justice Moak. That's very exciting.
Yes.
That is a like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, sounds like.
Well, it's a real knack to search this out, and Senator LaRue is excellent at that, and it's finding a document that's 150 or so years old is just not an easy task. Let's face it, it was never on the bestsellers list. He has some very, very valuable skills when it comes to research and finding things, and it's taken us all quite a bit of time to do this. I mean, we've all been looking for it, and so you're right. It's a blessing to find this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talk about going back and trying to do honor what they did. In the re-inhabitation process, I have a little follow-up of that here in Arkansas. We just had our constitutional election by our original 1836 Constitution on the 6th, Monday the 6th, to re-elect our representative for Arkansas. And the really interesting part was the voting was done by voice. And I had a kind of interesting conversation with Senator LaRue about that. And he's asking me, he said, why do you think they did it by voice? And the only thing that occurred to me was, you're talking 1836. I said, they probably, most of the population couldn't read or write. So they found a candidate they liked, and they had an assembly of the people, and they just voted by voice. Is that feasible, Justice Moak, on why they would have chose a voice?
Well, yes, I would say so. And I mean, stop and think. At this time, the biggest concern of these people living on the edge of the frontier was, will I have enough to eat today? And so sending your kid to learn to read and write was just kind of a luxury at best. So, I would say that's very much the case. Like we said, they used what technologies they had at that time. And staying within the spirit of that, I believe it would be just fine for us to use the technologies that we have available to us at the time. I see, no problem with that. They didn't have telephones back then either. Does that mean that we can't use them now? Well, of course not. They used what technology and resources they had, and I believe that still yet stays within the parameter of, of the intent that they had. And, yes, they had to do as good as they could, because I believe a lot of them literally could not read and write. And that's why you look at a lot of these old deeds and things, if you go back and you see just X's on them, and it says in parentheses, their mark. So...
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, you know, it's really nice to know that technology today, you know, with the telephone, is caught up with 1836, and so we can, we can just follow that, you know, by a conference call and still honor the Constitution. That was really refreshing, and for everyone, it was convenient, and it worked out great. So we were happy to do it that way also. I don't know who else is on the call, Governor Henning, but we had a discussion earlier about some of the things that were going on in Colorado. I've been hearing bits and pieces about it, and I haven't really heard from the horse's mouth, if you will, what's transpiring over there with these grand juries. And, you know, it sounded like there may be, say, teaching moment here for everyone. That's what's going on. I know they're, we've heard about the common law jury things in Florida and what's going on with all that, some of that, and the pitfalls and the problems. And if we have someone on the call that could address that, would like to speak to that, I'd love to hear about it. I yield.
Thank you, Governor. Lieutenant Governor Carpenter, are you on the call? I don't have a board, so I can't tell who's on the call.
Okay. Justice Moat, do you have anything on the Colorado situation that you could share?
What I had heard has just been second and third hand, so I would, really not feel comfortable at repeating something that someone else told me. You know what I'm saying? I would rather... someone that's involved with it.
Right.
This is Lieutenant Governor Carpenter.
There we go.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. We wonder, were you muted?
Technology is wonderful. As soon as you were going to turn the call over to me, my call failed, so I had to dial back.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Yes. In response to your inquiry as to what's going on over here in our state with the common law grand jury.
Point of order, sir. Lieutenant Governor Carpenter, you're real soft. Can you speak a little louder, please? Thank you.
Okay. Is that better?
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. My cell phone was running out of battery, and I got on a short leash. So, anyway, what we experienced here Monday morning was a total... Hello?
Yes.
Okay, what we experienced here in Delta County, Colorado, on Monday morning was a shock to, I think, everybody involved. I had not been to the previous meetings with the grand jury representatives and the commissioners. I had just been given reports and details, which I've shared, and they were all very positive and encouraging. And I went to breakfast before the meeting. The meeting was at 8:30, and so I went to breakfast at 7. And during that time, when I was at breakfast, I experienced something that was very very unusual. And for those of you that can relate to this, all I can tell you is that I felt a spiritual battle really in tremendous proportions raging about me. And I really didn't pay a lot of attention to it because I got distracted by having a friend sit down and join me. But when we got to the commissioner's room, it was like this was the first conversation they'd ever had about it. And everybody was just caught flat-footed and surprised. And so what we had been told to expect was not the case. The reporter from the local newspaper was there. And after the meeting, even he stated that from the tone of the conversation with the commissioner's office notifying him that they were going to seat the grand jury. So that was even what the reporter expected to report on when he showed up Monday morning. So I really can't tell you where we're at this time. All I can say is the grand jury, I'm sure, is regrouping and trying to get their thoughts back together and figure out how they're going to approach this again. So with that, I yield, and I'll take questions.
Well, thank you for that, Governor, Lieutenant Governor Carpenter. Of course, my first question would be what is the attitude of your county sheriff concerning this?
I think he's, he is the president of the State County Sheriff's Association. And although he is very much what we would like to see in many aspects and other aspects, he's just the opposite. So he's not a pillar of support in this situation, which is one reason why I was looking forward to having the county commissioners giving his marching order. That way he could have somebody to have an out or plausible deniability or whatever you want to say. So, so
okay.
That's the answer on that one.
Okay.
Oh, I did want to add that later in the week, last week, and during the weekend, the grand jury foreman, which has been intentionally, except for the commissioner meeting minutes, it's pretty well been kept a secret, although there's over 100 in the grand jury, or common law grand jury here in Delta at the time, from what I'm being told. The point is that she received multiple death threats throughout the end of the week and the weekend. And so that, along with that spiritual battle I was talking about experiencing on Monday morning, they may or may not be related, but just a point of interest. I yield.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in this type of, what's going on in different places. I've had some people that I've been talking to here that are interested in it, but I've advised them, and hopefully correctly, that whatever you decide to do in your county, you better check with your local sheriff first. And if he's supportive, I think you can move forward. And, some of these sheriffs do campaign on constitutional grounds that they will, and it's very appealing to people, and especially in this part of the country, then, and gets them elected. But when it comes down to, where the rubber meets the road, will they really stand up for their oath when the pressure and the heat comes on? And that's what, it's quite a leap of faith, if you will, for a sheriff to actually go out and do it. And so, that's what I've been telling them. If they want to pursue this, I could probably get them in touch with some people, and I know in the past, my experience with these grand juries, a few years ago, they were forming some secret grand juries, which I wasn't really interested in. And there's got to be a more public method to choosing a grand jury. So to be open and all about openness in government. And let the people know what you're up to, so there's no surprises. And if there's any opposition to it, you get it right at the forefront. So,
I concur with what you're saying, and I might be able to add a little to that through experience. Because of my position, I've intentionally distanced myself from any direct contact in an official way, I go to church with the grand jury foreman, but You know, I don't want to, you know, be a hindrance. And so I just try to maintain a respectful distance and not influence that in any way. And what I see happening is that, much like our Republic meetings 4 years ago, 5 years ago when we first got going, people want to turn the fire hose on everybody. You know, watch them get swept off their feet, you know. Well, that may have its place, but not really in this situation. And I see the human nature taking its course with John Duresh, New York grand jury style movement. It's so easy to bring up controversial subjects that are open to debate. And, you know, the fourth branch of government, or, you know, different types of personal opinions that are not fact. And so if I could admonish anyone on the call that has contact or is working or will be doing this in the future, I would say, in my humble opinion, stick to the high ground, never leave the high ground, and don't get sucked down the rabbit trail into personal debates, because it's not productive and it just makes you look like an idiot, and or leaves room for that debate too. And so, what's the high ground? Well, the high ground is, in my opinion, that our founding fathers found this to be such an important piece of the puzzle that they specifically put it in our Bill of Rights. The reason they did that was to separate it and to make sure that the admonishment and the oaths of office of the government and the elected officials were to protect and defend our right to hold them accountable. And so back that up with the United States versus Williams and Scalia's ruling, if you want, although if you read the whole thing, it's not all that overwhelmingly positive, even though, you know, it is a 6-3 ruling and Scalia wrote what he wrote. The only time I would even go there would be to reference the Bill of Rights by saying, or reference Scalia versus Williams with my Bill of Rights statement, showing that there's a recent Supreme Court ruling validating and standing with that thought. And so with that recent Supreme Court ruling and their oaths, then really, I don't think we need to be going there. If we were to go to a sheriff or a county commissioner's, and I'm liking the county commissioners to a point, and I'll go there in a minute. But that's the high ground. I would just stay right there, okay, and let them beat me off of that, because they can't. That's fact. That's recent, and it's undeniable. And that's the way it is. And I hope that's crystal clear. I tried to make it that way. So I think we fail ourselves, you know, by getting sucked down too many rabbit trails sometimes. And then I can't remember the other point I was going to make. So I yield. Thank you.
Governor,
thank you.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm back. I did want to mention we do have the other board up. I believe they can hear now. So sorry about the delay for everyone over on the other call. And I do want to mention that our president has joined the call also.
Okay. Well, we've got a break in the action. If he has any updates he'd like to bring on.
Give me about 2 minutes.
Okay. The clock is running. Lieutenant Carpenter, do you think there's a way of bridging this effort out here in this I'll just call it de facto world, for lack of better terms, with what we're trying to do in restoring the Republican form of government. Is there a way to reach those people where there's a common thread, where they can see that they're, what they're dealing with in that jurisdiction is definitely is uphill, to say the least, versus just let's go ahead, you know, fall back and let's restore the kind of government you're to get the kind of results you're looking for. Is that, do you see something there that could be bring us together?
I do. You know, Thursday night call, we had John Duresh on, you know, and was it John? No, it was Terry, and from Florida, and another person who works with him down in the common law grand juries down there, and they were on a Thursday night call. And then with the discussion that happened last week, where we felt that it was so evident that, you know, things were going to make a big corner here, that opened up a lot of discussion that we in the Republic, in my opinion, needed to have. And I'm thankful for it, even though it's maybe delayed a little in its application. But I see that there's two divergent ways that we thought were going to be happening if this would have been permitted. And it would have been, this would have, in our opinion, given validity to the Article III court through the Republic, where Florida's chose to go back into the de facto. And neither one of us have, you know, made any success in either venue. And so it's yet to be seen, you know, which is the preferred method. But I find it interesting, you know, that there is a divergence there intact. And I think that once a person understands common law and the intent of that, and then the next logical question, you know, from the common law grand jury standpoint has to be, well, do we try to keep this in common law Article III court, or do we, you know, take it back into de facto? And, of course, every county gets to make that decision for themselves. Myself, I'm blessed here in my area because my father planted a lot of good seed. He was a Department of Corrections officer. He was on several prison escapes. He worked with our current sheriff, and my dad also is active in the prison ministry. And so he was a well-known commodity. And so I get to ride a little bit of his shirt tails. And with that, the relationship with the sheriff. And so I did go to the sheriff 4 years ago and start conversations with him. And over the years, I have taken him my paperwork and documented who I represent. And there are, well, on my side, I have very little that I hide from him, with discretion, of course. But I went there and I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing so that if I'm accused of something, which I probably will be, that you have it from my lips what I'm doing and not just my accusers. And I also had the opportunity, my one of the three county commissioners that we were sitting in front of this week, 4 years ago, had given me 3.5 hours at his dining room table as we discussed the Republic. And that was a wrap at that time. And so I've had privilege to at least, you know, have weekly conversations with two of the four people involved. I think it's a matter of being comfortable and in the humongous effects of the ramifications, if you will, of making that decision. I think people are scared of it. But I do believe we're making ground. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Thank you. Governor Henning, back to you.
Thank you, Governor. And thank you, Lieutenant Governor Harbinger, for your insight. I know in our state here, too, I've personally filed some, like, writ of mandamus and things to the judges and courts. And, of course, I receive threatening letters from the state's attorneys and with the threat of incarceration and federal prison. So I know things will be changing soon, and praying for the common law courts to be standing back up. It is the fourth branch of our government. President Geiger, are you available?
Yes, it's President Geiger. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, thank you. It's an honor to address the governors tonight, and I'm glad to hear all the discussion going on. That's wonderful. Since there was some word said about fourth branch of government, I will make a comment on that before I get started with what I was going to talk about. You know, the people are over and above the government, and the grand juries are an arm of the people. So if we try to say that the grand juries are a fourth branch of government, we're actually diminishing their power. And the quote that's coming from is actually by a judge that said it's like a fourth branch of government. He didn't say it is a fourth branch of government. So my opinion is if you try to say that it's a fourth branch of government, you're actually diminishing the grand jury. That's just my opinion, and he can probably boil some peanuts along with that and probably try to sell it and maybe add some coffee and might get a nickel for it. So anyway, does everybody like boiled peanuts? Anybody like boiled peanuts?
Boiled peanuts.
Boiled green peanuts. Do you
yes,
like
sir.
Those?
Salt in salt water.
There you go. But anyway, that's the part of the country I'm from down here in South Alabama. But it's the time of the year for boiled green peanuts. But it's a more serious time of the year on the biblical calendar. It's actually the first night of Tabernacles. And for those among you who are biblical scholars, you probably found out by now that Yeshua, Jesus, this is the night he probably was born on. So I'll let y'all chew on that for a while, and some of you might want to do some research on it. But that's what my research shows. But it's very significant that people were talking about, you know, the blood red moon we had earlier this morning. It coincides with this biblical festival, and there's a number of blood red moons or eclipses of the moon that show up on biblical festivals all during the next coming years. So we're definitely, our Father is pointing towards things are going to be happening, and we can expect for Him to be in control. And part of that is the rebuilding of the Republic, the re-inhabiting Republic, and we're going to continue to do our job, and that's reach out to the American people and just invite them. This is your Republic, and we're just going to invite them in to participate into their Republic. So I hear reports of how the de facto might be coming against the Christians and Tea Parties and people like us and doing all kinds of things, the dastardly things that because they the word from the people that are speaking out of anonymity is that they got nothing to lose. So if the facts are true that we got a Muslim in the White House, I don't know what he's got to lose by following through with what he started. But for sure, you would think if that's his mindset, that they would for sure would come after the Christians and people like us, Tea Parties, people who believe in the Constitution, basically your average everyday patriotic American. You don't hear them talk about the true terrorists that are coming across our southern borders. You don't hear them talk about the fact they're finding some of these terrorists with shoulder-fired missiles in the back of their, in the trunks of their cars. The Lord knows how they got here with them. There's all kinds of things you don't hear them talk about. And even when things do hit the news, they try to spin it in such a way that Oh, that was workplace violence. Had nothing to do with well, what's really going on. So I'm kind of rambling a little bit here tonight, but we all need to be prepared. We don't know what's going to happen in the months and weeks ahead. Things could go awry very quickly in this country if the, you know, the thugs that are in power want it to go that way. I'm sure they could foment all kinds of things and cause all kinds of problems for the American people. But it's up to each one of us to prepare ourselves in any which way we can. And if you remember, President Turner used to encourage you to have maybe some food storage on hand. Food, water, makes a whole lot of sense. There's other ways you can prepare as far as being able to defend yourself and your family, making alliances with your friends and neighbors around town, having some plans that you've drawn up. We don't know what's going to happen. We've had some CIA analysts say that if some of you have seen the CIA analysts talking about the 12th Imam and how the Muslims planning on quote-unquote bringing him in by causing al-Qaeda violence around the middle of October. But if you're prepared, you're going to be a whole lot better off than if you're not. So I would encourage you tonight just to ponder these things and prepare yourself in all the different ways you can. Maybe think about in terms of, you know, I'm hearing people tonight talking about different things that are going on with grand juries in the judicial system. Well, ask yourself, you know, what have I done to prepare myself in case I had to go to court for something that was, you know, say you got stopped for a seatbelt and they want to throw you in prison for that. They've done it. You know, they do all kinds of dastardly things. I even heard the story my wife told me about, actually my daughter told me about this woman and a man had their children vaccinated, and one of the children had a very bad reaction to the vaccination. It caused brain bleeding and all kind of things. What did they do instead of blaming it on the pharmaceutical company? Well, they arrested the father and put him in prison and accused him of shaking the child. So anything besides blaming the pharmaceutical company. So those kinds of things go on. And I'm sure the powers that be, you know, they love to abuse the American people. So just prepare yourselves and put your, you know, the Bible talks about girding up your loins and be prepared for battle. So I would encourage you all to stand your ground and together in the Republic. We have to continue to stand our ground, and we hold hands together. And the more of us here, the better. That's why we continue to reach out to the American people. And with that said, I'd say God bless you all, and God bless the Republic.
Thank you, President Geiger, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, sir.
Be safe. And Governor Horton, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Mr. President, we got dropped off the call. I probably missed some pretty good stuff, but
well, did you hear about the good. Bull? Did you hear about the bull peanuts?
I missed that.
Oh.
There you go. See, I missed the best part.
You have somebody to fill you in on that now.
Yeah, that was for another time.